Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Our football offseason coverage is brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. From kickoff to last call, Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Joe, you have participated in another beat writer mock draft that, as you have discussed, will come out tomorrow. So we look forward to that at The Athletic. But in this process, you have been strengthened in your conviction, which, as we know, the more your conviction can be strengthened, the better off it all is for all of us that get to experience that with you. So, Joe, what have you uncovered? What have you discovered about yourself and about the Tennessee Titans in this draft process over this exercise that you've embarked on?
Well, I just to give a little preview, this draft publishes tomorrow, and there's some real interesting trades, but not involving the Titans. You know, I just as I came upon it, when I had the choice, and I think the Titans may, although I don't know, maybe this Arizona Cardinals stuff has legs. I mean, Todd McShay is saying there's somebody in that organization who's been just on the table for Jeremiah Love, and he didn't realize until now that this person, has as much influence as this person does. I mean, with Todd McShay anymore, it's kind of like, I don't know. Sometimes there's some weird stuff there, you know. I don't know that it's always completely reliable, but it's interesting. And certainly he talks to people, and so I don't know. Maybe this won't happen. But to me, the choice of Love and one of the edge guys is I think there's a good chance it's there, and Sonny Styles too, by the way. Some people, I don't know, I haven't heard anybody who actually says like Sonny Styles should be the choice, but it's possible that he could be. But to me, it's just this isn't a change, but it's just like, man, I really feel as strongly as ever about it. You don't go the running back. You in that scenario, if you have Reese or Bailey there, you go there, man. You have to. And it's just, I understand why people would have more fun with Love as the choice and why that's directly helping Cam Ward. But the Tennessee Titans have to build a great football team. They have to do everything right in terms of, yeah, making good choices, picking the best players, things like that. But also, just you using every aspect of a decision and considering all aspects. And that to me means like you just can't pass up someone who's going to be that level of an edge player, who projects to be that level of an edge player. Some of these guys are going to flame out and bust completely. Some of these guys who go in the fourth round are going to be start. Like that's what it is. But you cannot pass up an edge who profiles like Reese or Bailey do for a running back. You just can't. And so that is my, and I think you and I have both said we would go that way, but I feel now, again, I went through it. It's like, man, there's just, to me, no justification for taking Love if you have that possibility, if you have that opportunity. So I'm here to take all the screaming for this take. Unfortunately for you, I'm not on the text line. So yeah, I have no idea. Sorry, I can't see you. It's like, almost like I muted you. YouTube chat, go for it. And I know some people agree with me and some people strongly disagree, but this is a long process. This is not 1 year. They're not going to fix everything in 1 year. They're not going to, have this complete offense for Cam Ward in 1 year. You have to do the best you can to bring in great players who, again, you can't get otherwise, right? And that's where the difference is here. Whereas, I'm not saying you're going to get a Jeremiah Love in his prime if he's as good as everybody thinks, in free agency, but you can be awfully good at running back in a lot of different ways in this league, and that's not true at edge.
Well, look, I want to be clear about what I'm going to say here. I have, if the Titans end up with Jeremiah Love because the Jets have taken David Bailey and then the Cardinals or somebody trades up with the Cardinals and they take Arvell Reese, I'm cool with that, man. Like if your choice isn't there between one of those edge guys and Jeremiah Love and you go Love, great. That's awesome. Like that's what I would do. If the one of those edge guys is there and they take Jeremiah Love, which I'm praying that that situation happens where one of those edge guys is there and they've got the choice between those two, you better take the edge guy. Like, in some ways, Joe, and I know there'll be probably a lot of Titans fans that don't want to hear this. In some ways, I kind of hope Schefter's right from yesterday and either Arizona or somebody moving up to three with Arizona is doing it to go get Jeremiah Love, and that leaves you with either Arvell Reese or David Bailey. Like, because I mean, as we've talked about with those two guys, I think there's potential there to have the sort of pass rusher that, frankly, this team just hasn't had in a long time, right? Like, the last time they selected in the draft a pass rusher that's that impactful, or at least has the chance, right? Because we don't know. Like, maybe Arvell Reese gets to the league and it just doesn't work, or David Bailey's not the player we think he is.
Well, of
But
course.
if it works out the way we think it will with those two guys, I mean, they've never really had that. Like, Curse would be the closest thing, right? Like, Curse coming in the league and we saw how important he was. Now, again, that's at this point, it's almost 30 years ago. So, I don't know about you. I don't know about other Titans fans. I'm tired of using examples of things that happened 30 years ago, be that Eddie George and Steve McNair, be that Javon Curse, whatever that, respectfully to those guys, I've watched those guys, loved watching them play, all those things. It's time to become an organization where the examples you use are more recent, right? It's time to find some impactful players through the draft that come in and live up to where what you want them to be when you take them. So yeah, like I'm with you. Like I would, if it comes down to the choice between Reese, Bailey, or Love, one of those two guys, I'm going the pass rusher all day long.
Yeah, like I guess you could go back to Kyle VandenBosch, but yeah, he had a great runner, but he was the rare case of, he came, he was with Coach Mack with the Cardinals. He came here
Right,
and
like he wasn't drafted
he
here.
yeah, and he was a second round pick of the Cardinals. He came here and had his best football here. I mean, again, these things can happen, but there's a much stronger correlation between where you go in the draft and success at edge and at offensive tackle than there is at a lot of, a lot of other positions. So in this scenario, I would hope if that's the way they go, that then they give Cam Ward help that again immediately is more pressing, which is at receiver, and use a significant pick at 35 or whatever. I mean, I suppose maybe they could also try, they've got someone, they got their eyes on someone who's still there late first, they could move up or whatever. But I just think that's the best way. And then you have a chance, if you have a, and I mean, who knows who the Jets are taking? It seems like it's almost split down the middle from people who cover the Jets and people who cover the league. So good for the Jets for putting out that much uncertainty with the way that they've gone about things on the Reese Bailey front. But regardless, you expect him to take one of them. I just you think about either of those guys, but I mean, I guess to me, I think about Bailey. For some reason, I just think it's going to be Reese. I think the Jets have smoke screened and it's Reese. But either of them, with what the Titans have inside, you might again immediately have something really cooking on the defensive side of the ball, and absolutely that helps your quarterback. The Bengals, whatever you think about the Bengals as an organization, that move to get Dexter Lawrence is a help Joe Burrow now move, because you have to be able to have balance and you have to be able to get the ball back and not beg your quarterback to score 35 points in a game.
Look, if the Jets take Reese at number two and the Cardinals take Jeremiah Love at number three, I would set an NFL record if I were the GM of the Titans for how quickly I called the general manager to take David Bailey at number, or to call the commissioner to take David Bailey at number four. An NFL record. Like, as soon as I saw Jeremiah Love get selected, the phone would be dialed. I'd be like, hey, here's David Bailey. Here's the selection for the Titans. David Bailey, number four. Thank you.
Yeah, can you do like a pre thing, you know, where you like set a timer on your oven or something? Just say if this, just lock us in for David Bailey. Yeah, if you could do that, they should do that. But then we say that, and then they'll go Sonny Styles. So
Who gets more time on the broadcast? Whoever the Titans take at number four this year, or Cam Ward from last year, who got approximately 14 seconds?
I would think that this year they would have a normal, as long as some team doesn't make the trade of the century that already looks bad right now. Then I would think that they would that the Titans pick would get some attention. Let's hope, because yeah,
Like,
or maybe they should revisit Cam, you know, and like let Cam, like
yeah.
redo the Cam pick
You
and let
guys may have
him
missed
do
it from
it.
our draft coverage last year, but Cam Ward actually got drafted first overall by the Titans a year
Yeah,
ago. How
how
about that?
about that? Yeah, put him on the invite him to the draft. Maybe he'd like to come to the draft.
Maybe so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So you've heard Joe Rexroad's pitch. You've heard the conviction from Rex Rowe. We'll take your reaction, your thoughts on the NFL draft at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025 The Game.
A lot of people believe he's the best player in this draft. Now the question becomes, how high can he go? And there are people around the league who believe that Arizona will have him in the conversation to go number three. The Cardinals are going to listen to offers for the third overall pick. We'll see ultimately what they decide. There are many holes they have to address, but there have been people out there saying it could be difficult for them to pass on the best player if he happens to be there at three, which we are expecting.
That was Adam Schefter, one of the greatest writers of our time, discussing the Jeremiah Love situation with Arizona. Just still waiting on the clarification on his Chris Brazel construction of the sentence from yesterday. I'm sure that'll be coming at some point.
Yeah, like is anybody else reacting to this, or like has anybody, because there's all this aggregation out there, like has like A to Z or anyone, do we have any headlines out there about how Chris Brazel is the next George Pickens,
I don't know.
or again, maybe I don't know that he was necessarily saying that, but he might have been. That's how Jake Lyman took it, and then at first I read like no. Then I'm like, oh wait, maybe that does mean that. I don't know.
Can I
It'd
just
be
say for the
nice. It'd be
record?
nice for some clarification.
I'll just say this for the record. I don't believe at all that the Arizona Cardinals are going to take Jeremiah Love. I do not. I
Okay.
absolutely do not believe this. And you look, I'm not an NFL insider. I could be wrong. They do have James Conner on the roster, and they just signed Tyler Allgeier, who's 26 years old.
Yeah.
Like, so, could they do it? Sure. I do not believe it. Like, there's so many other things that they need. I think this is an attempt to get them to be able to trade back. Like, I think that's what this is. I think Arizona would like to trade back and pick up some more picks and start to address the several different holes that they've got on their roster, both offensively and defensively. But I do not for a second believe that Jeremiah Love is going number three to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, he may go number three, but I don't think he's going number three to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think this seems like one of those, okay, what's our draft week media strategy type things? And hey, Adam Schefter, always willing to play a little ball with somebody. So.
And I still, as good as I think Jeremiah Love is, I still got a hard time believing that somebody's trading up to go get a running back. I do. Like, it's one thing to pick a running back in the top five. Like, it's already controversial enough. I got a hard time believing that somebody's going to package together even more to go move up and get it. I just, like, I will have to see that to believe it coming up on Thursday night.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's crazy. I can't believe someone's going to do that. If someone does do that and like moves into three and takes him, well, to me, that's, I understand some Titans fans like will be upset, but I and again, this comes off bad because I think Jeremiah Love is really good. I think he's going to be really good in the NFL. But it's kind of a bullet dodge for the Titans, to me, if that's the case. And I say all this now, and in a couple of years we may be talking about, again, Jeremiah Love just taking the NFL by storm. Jeremiah Love, Offensive Player of the Year candidate on a regular basis, all this stuff. And if that's the case, then a lot of this stuff will be justified, but that is such a high bar to set for someone.
Well, it's a high bar, and are we talking about David Bailey, you know, with 11 or 12 sacks each of the next 4 or 5 years? Because, honestly, even if Jeremiah Love starts winning, like, Offensive Player of the Year as a running back, if you're telling me that Bailey is going to be an 11 or 12 sack guy every year, I'll take that, man. Like, you can go find another running back, maybe that's not Jeremiah Love, but you can find a good running back, but you can't find – you know, a dynamic young pass rusher with the traits that some of these guys have.
Right. And so I agree. So then, so if Bailey, if that's the pick, or Reese come in and they're great, but also at that point, you need to have more things figured out on offense.
Yeah, right? For sure.
So that's another part of it. So, I mean, if you got Bailey and that's the way you went, whether it was out of your hands or not, and he's getting you 12 sacks, getting you 10 to 12 sacks, but you also still have an offense that's scoring 17 points a game, and Cam Ward doesn't look that much different. You know, then you're going back to the Ward pick, because at some point that's obvious. We're not far from that, sort of a referendum on that. But that's where, again, like, if I just feel like, as much as I'm a BPA truther, I also still feel like if you do this, you do have to maybe tilt things a little bit toward offensive help and that with the next pick.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see if the Titans trade back too. Everybody's talking about Arizona now. It would be just like the Titans to be like, okay, somebody wants to move up, and Dallas wants to move up and get Sonny Styles. So let's go ahead and trade back, and we'll get Ruben Vance. Somebody asking on the text line, if Bailey and Reese are gone, would you take Reuben Bain over Jeremiah Love?
No.
I would not. I'm asking you.
No, I would not. No. I like Bain, but I just think there's just – and I'm not – the car accident thing to me is not – it seems like, you know, it was a just an accident. You know, obviously got to learn from it and things like that. That's not it's the physical dimensions with him. The history is, it's a pretty long history, and I think he's going to be a really good player in the NFL. And I would take him at 9. I would take him at 12. But I think if that's the choice, I'd go Love, which kind of just, you know, puts a torch to a lot of what I've said today. But I mean, you still have to. Like, at some point, you have to go best player and how many questions and how many holes, right? Because
there are more questions with Reuben Bain than there are David Bailey and Arvell Reese.
Exactly. And there's just and Love. I mean, Love still, I do envision Love being really good. And I do think that if he can really be an asset in the passing game, and he's a little bit more than just a running back, that's something to keep in mind too. And he's a lot of people think he's just the best overall player in the draft. And Bain, it's just, I just think that's a little bit too rich for Reuben Bain.
I do as well. This is setting up real nicely for a Sonny Styles pick at number 4 for the Titans coming up on Thursday night, this whole conversation. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, and look, that's a tough one for me. He would be last for me among all these possible guys. He'd be last. I'm very intrigued by him. I'm very intrigued by him and what that could mean. You still would have, like, just some guys, some pretty good guys on the edge for this defense. And so you're like, okay, so what does this mean? Now, you know, Styles is a blitzer too and all that stuff, but still, like, you got to be able to win one-on-one battles or even beat double teams at times on the edge, I think, to have a great defense. But I will say, Styles and Gray and the way they would complement each other, and then now what you have inside up front, It could still be, that could still be a key piece for a great defense. But if it's kind of the same thing with Jeremy Love, if you go that way, then he needs to be one of those two or three linebackers we talk about every year in the
Yes.
NFL. Like, that's it. You can't, like, the bar gets set so high if you're taking a position like, inside linebacker or running back that high.
Well, as it should. Like, as
Yeah.
we, yeah, it should be. Like, if Jeremiah Love gets taken at number four, he better be an all-pro running back pretty quickly into his NFL career. If Sonny Styles gets taken at number four, he better be an all-pro inside linebacker pretty quickly in his NFL career. I mean, I'm sorry. That's what it should be. And I mean, you could say that about everybody. Like if you get, but again, Cameron, I understand his point on the text line. 10 to 12 sacks if you're David Bailey is not really all that dynamic. It's Harold Landry. I think Landry got 12 and a half 1 year. He got 10 another year with the Titans. So yeah, like if David Bailey, like I'd like to have David Bailey have 15 sacks a year. But I'm just saying, like at edge rusher, it's more impactful. So I think you have to factor that in when you're judging how these draft picks go. If you're drafting a non-premium position at number four overall, those guys need to be all pro players for you at those positions.
Yeah, absolutely. And all pro and like in the conversation, like Fred Warner has been. I'm like, like this is a great linebacker, one of the great defensive players in the league, and like he's gonna be in Canton. I mean, I'm not saying whoever you pick has to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but yeah, to have that kind of impact at that position.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will take more of your thoughts on the NFL draft. Plus, Dan Patrick's throwing it out there that he knows the date that Nashville is getting the Super Bowl. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. I got some tickets to give away to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race, the Float 200, coming up at Nashville Super Speedway on Friday, May the 29th. To caller number four, 615-737-1025. Caller four will win a pair of tickets to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race coming up at Nashville Super Speedway on Friday, May the 29th. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Nevada Josh says, do we know for sure Jeremiah Love's a great player, or is he just a really good player that was on a great team? Joe, my response is, I don't guess you ever know for sure, but I'm pretty confident Jeremiah Love's going to be a great player. I am. Everything I've watched about him, all the testing, everything that goes into it, pretty confident he's going to be a great player in the NFL.
Yeah, sure. He was on a talented Notre Dame team, but no, he's unquestionably a great college football player. That's not, if you watch them play, he does things that are not normal. I mean, I was at the Notre Dame Indiana game, 2 years ago, where he took made that little jump cut in the hole at the th 3 yard line or whatever, and was gone. And I understand the Indiana Hoosiers defense of 2024 may not be the fastest defense known to man, but that was one of those, like, geez, this guy. No, he's a great college player. I'm very confident he'll be, at the least, a very good NFL running back. If he's healthy, he's going to have multiple 1,000-yard seasons, probably 1,500-yard type seasons. He'll catch the ball. He's just, again, as a straight up player, there are people who believe, I'd mentioned Bruce Feldman's piece yesterday. A lot of people quoted in that, they just think he's the best player in the draft. It's just, again, like the Titans are solid at running back, and they can get better at running back. They can get better at running back in this draft several rounds into it. That's the reality of running back. So you have to weigh those things. If they take him, it's going to be exciting around here. I think that's the most fun, exciting pick for everybody.
Agreed.
You have your rookie is going to be a centerpiece. Now you have the rookie who's paired with the second-year quarterback, high hopes, and he's going to get the ball a lot. And I think he's going to do well. It's not a, it's not like a bad thing. I just again, I really believe in the edge thing. And so people bring it up on the YouTube chat. What about Seattle? We've had this conversation before. Well, Seattle didn't have like great edge players. Seattle, and that's true. Seattle is a team that does not have edge superstars. There's not one way to do this, but Seattle has a ton of great players on defense. They had some of the best corners in the league last year, and obviously they're great all the way around. And there's not one way to do this, but if you go back through Super Bowl champs in recent years, whether it's maybe it's more like on the Chris Jones front, but then they have Bonilla. Pass rush is a big part of a lot of these teams, most of these teams that get to and win the Super Bowl, in one way or the other. It's affecting the quarterback. Is you're not going to find too many teams that get that far that don't affect the quarterback.
Here's the bottom line. I think if you're judging it just purely based on reaction from Titans fans, I think if the Titans end up with David Bailey or Arvell Reese, most Titans fans are going to be fine with that. I think if they end up with Jeremiah Love, most Titans fans are going to be happy with that. Based on what I'm seeing right now on the YouTube chat and on the text line, people do not love the idea of Sonny Styles being the selection at number four. And he look, we talk about great players. He may end up being a great player. Like, I've got pretty good confidence he's going to end up being a great player in the NFL. But I understand why, as Cameron points out on the text line, it's not the Ray Lewis era in football anymore. It's not. Now, you can still find some pretty darn impactful and pretty darn important linebacker play. I mean, look, go back to Tampa, right? Like, when Tampa won the Super Bowl with Brady, they had a heck of a pass rush. They had the GOAT leading the way at quarterback in there. Certainly the best Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback we've ever seen in Tom Brady. Their linebacking core is pretty good, man. You had Lavonte David, you had
Oh,
Devin
yeah.
White, and they're pretty good.
Incredible.
Like, hey, a lot of speed. Never mind the fact they almost killed Brett Kern on the fake punt here that Vrabel tried to get him killed. But independent of that, like, a pretty good linebacking core that they had there.
That game, the story of that game was that Patrick Mahomes could not stand in the pocket for more than a second and a half, ever. He made that one throw where he's like upside down and like it's like psychedelic throw that he made. I mean, it was that they dominated the game, and Brady was great, and all that. But that's why that team won it all, because they were hell on the opposing quarterback more than who their quarterback was. It's just real. That's not me doing the Brady hater thing. That's just true. So, and the Eagles, you look at what they've been able to do. I mean, all over the field on defense in these last. In this recent era, that's the kind of the constant for them when they've been there, as they've had this great defense. I mean, defense wins championships is an old adage. It doesn't. There are definitely plenty of champions in modern times that the offense 100% led the way with a solid defense. So again, it's just like when you're in a situation, you have to maximize the opportunity. And to me, maximizing this opportunity means taking a player that you just are going to have a hard time taking that player again, a player like that, unless you're at the top of the draft. And you want to stop being at the top of the draft,
That'd be
by the
great.
way. You'd like to stop having these opportunities. So now you've got another one. So I just, the more I think about it, the more I just, the running back career, the running back outcome production has to be so exceptional if that's the way you go.
So, Joe, Dan Patrick put it out there yesterday that Nashville will be
Ooh.
hosting the Super Bowl in 2030. And we've talked about that. Like, it's not a huge surprise. Like, we know when this new stadium gets completed that it's going to be pretty soon after. And we heard Burke Nyhill say earlier this offseason that, like, the earliest it would probably be would be 2030. So the 2030 date makes a lot of sense. Do we buy what Dan Patrick is throwing out there, Joe Rexroad? I do believe that Dan Patrick was the one that went with the McDonald's bag stories with the Jeremy Pruitt stuff, so we have to keep that in mind. But are we buying what Dan Patrick is throwing out there when it comes to Nashville hosting the Super Bowl in 2030?
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. The Titans did not confirm that yesterday. They also didn't refute it. I don't know if you want to read into that or not, but I think mostly Dan Patrick is reliable. Yeah, the McDonald's bag thing was. Now, I guess eventually, and this is with some Adam Sparks and Mike Wilson reporting helping this, that we did get to there were Chick-fil-A bags
Yes,
involved.
Chick-fil-A.
So I mean, I guess Dan Patrick at least had fast food bags, and maybe he just kind of mixed up the brand a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's hard for me to believe that they would make him wait any longer than that. Now that they have it all nailed down until then, so I'm buying it. I'm mentally planning on it. And it's interesting too, because if that's the case, so we've been talking the last few years about what kind of team are the Titans going to have when the stadium opens? And right now, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we have this offseason to see what they do in 26, and then they have another whole offseason. And is Cam Ward good? Is he not good? I mean, this year's going to tell us so much about that. But now you can also think about, can they get themselves to the point where the 29 team could at least talk about, we could play a Super Bowl at home, which means, I mean, like, can you at least be like a solid playoff team? Everybody expects to be in the postseason at that point. It seems so far off because of how bad it's been, but it's certainly possible.
Well, if they're not that by then, that probably means that you don't have the same quarterback and you don't have the same coaching staff and a whole lot of things that go into that. So if they're not that by then, it probably means it's a different cast of characters entirely by the time that comes around.
Yes. Then the thing is, in this league, like it's not crazy. Well, if those things are all different, then yeah, that's problematic. But you say this, and it's like if someone told you, like in, well, even like going into like 18, like okay, this is basically, it's about to start going really downhill for Mariota, then. How would you project ahead that at the end of the next season, you're ahead in the AFC Championship game on the road in Kansas City, because you had a freaking, cast off quarterback you got for a fourth round pick who's playing out of his mind, and because your running back, who had been a disappointment at that point, has become like the biggest weapon in the league. Like, you just, things like that happen in the NFL, so. It is about time for like some of those good things to start happening to the Titans, it seems. But
Jared
they also have
Curtis
to make it happen.
in his rookie year, quarterback of the Titans, leading them to the Super Bowl.
Oh my goodness, there you go. How many rookie quarterbacks have
It's gonna be great when Curtis goes first overall and Faizon Brandon's second overall. What a time around here that's gonna be.
What if that is like the huge debate in 29? Like who should be the number one pick? Jared Curtis or Faizon Brandon?
I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it coming up.
Hey, they're both very talented.
They are. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. We'll have Alex Doherty at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh my God. Oh my God. What do I do with my hands?
Who cares about his short arms?
Your kid is not as good as you think he is.
Mike, is there a single fan out there that's smart at all, or are they all stupid? Let us know.
Keep the kid's name out of your mouth.
Joe is such a get off my grass old man.
Dude, you all right? Why are you yelling at that guy?
The biggest ass in town.
Kids, don't listen to me.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters the most. When the grid goes down, you're either covered or you're not. Check them out today at rapidresponsegenerators.com. Mr. Rex Road, the floor is yours.
So I'm going to hold off. I'm going to hold off on this screaming about slash at Kaharski. I mean, it's probably better if he's just here,
I
And
agree.
we have some disagreements on all that went down last night. I will say, just I hope that the Nolensville and Ravenwood baseball teams can have two great games the next 2 days and without incident, and also that Nolensville continues to beat them. But I love Ravenwood too. We got family at Ravenwood, so I want to try. No shade, trying to be nice and peaceful here, other than with Kaharski, who I will scream at tomorrow about many of his ridiculous things that he said last night. So I want to. I've been switched here on this idea, which is kind of new to me. So you help me out.
Okay.
As we talk through the Titans drafting, as we talk through Mike Borgonzi and you know what he values. So I haven't heard this. You tell me if this is true. This is Brand 2193. How come all you people have weird names on the YouTube chat? Just put your name on here. He says, he claims, okay. Well, first of all, these people are like, well, Borgonzi cares too much about like character. Okay, that's the theme, okay? Which I don't know that I've really, you know, considered that, but he claims we literally faded Luther Burden and Nick Emmanuori because Femi Oladejo is a nice guy. I totally believe Borgonzi will take character over talent. People ripping Femi, you know, all this stuff. So, first of all, is that a thing? Is that something that have we under discussed this? Is that true? I'll throw that out there. But also, I will say this gives me a thought about someone in this draft. I wonder if, because of Oladejo, if an Arvel Reese would be a little bit of a fear point for Borgonzi here, because, and it's not the same. You know, Femi Oladejo went in the second round. Right now, as of last year, it looked like he should have gone in about the fifth, but he went in the second round. Arvel Reese, elite, a lot of things about him are elite traits. He was really good last year in the field, but there is still with him this, he projects to be this. He could be this. He's on the course to be this. He is this. Here's the film from college where he is this. And I do wonder if Reese is there, and I don't think he will be. I think that's who the Jets are taking. But if he is, does the Oladejo thing deter Borgonzi and make him look in another direction of a more known commodity?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think it does. And the reason is exactly what you just laid out. Like, we talked about this early in the draft process too. Like, Kuharsky brought it up, and it's fair to bring up when you've taken Oladejo, who was an off the ball linebacker that got converted in his last year of college football to an edge rusher. That's not a whole lot of time playing the position you need him to play at the NFL level, but you saw enough with the tools that he brings to the table that you feel like he can do it. Well, it's basically the same thing with Arvel Reese, except the tools are just a lot better. Like, this is what, you know, Borgonzi last week in his pre-draft press conference, and again, it's a pre-draft press conference. There's only so much you can take away from it that actually means anything. But, like, I do think, you know, when Borgonzi says something like this, he's not just throwing it out there. He said Arvel Reese is, quote, one of the more explosive prospects I've ever seen, has the tools to be a dominant rusher. Like, I understand it's a GM in a pre-draft press conference, but I don't think you just throw that out there unless you actually believe it, right? Like, you don't just, oh, he's one of the most explosive prospects I've ever seen, if you don't actually deep down believe that.
Probably not.
Unless he's
trying to fool everybody.
It could be.
Yeah. No, there's a difference for sure. Now, what about the character thing? Is that his thing? You know, it's like John Robinson. It was like John Robinson loves to find those banged up players you can get, you know, 50 cents on the dollar. And is Borgonzi too focused on character?
Well, if he is, I guess you better take Chris Braswell off the board, according to Schefter.
I guess, if that's what that sentence meant.
Yeah, I don't know.
He, like, does seem big on character, though.
He seems big on character, but, like, find me the NFL general manager who's, like, not big on character, right? Like, it just...
Right. They, like, all talk about it. They all talk about culture.
Here's what I would love to know. Are you big on character? Like, how big on character are you when it's one of your best players, right? Like, that's really the test. Because I think NFL coaches, NFL general managers put up with a lot of crap from some of these players when the players are really, really good, right? Like, it's, you know, it's easy to move on from fringe guys, particularly guys that you didn't draft, when they're not superstar players if you don't like their character. Right. You know, if you're talking about a guy that you drafted in the first or second round, I think you got a little bit more of a leash there. And look, you know, I'm not going to like sit here today and pretend like I remember all the Luther Burden stuff. I don't remember like the character concerns with all that or whatever. But I you know, is that the reason they didn't take Luther Burden and they traded back in the second round and took Femi Oladeja? I have no idea. I couldn't tell you happened on that front.
Has that been reported or is that just reported on the YouTube chat?
I don't recall seeing that anywhere. So I don't know. I think we're making assumptions about the character part of this because of some of the things that have happened, right? Like, it's a fact. He got rid of, you know, two cornerbacks earlier this year, one of which, you know, Roger McCreary was a good player, but clearly the Titans did not have any interest in re-signing him to another contract.
And there was no character concerns there whatsoever.
You know, Brownlee, from, you know, reading the tea leaves, it didn't feel like his character, his approach, however you want to phrase it, lined up with who they wanted to be and what they wanted to do. So, and that seemed to be, Joe, like the driving reason why they got rid of Jarvis Brownlee.
Right. Brownlee ticked some people off. Some people didn't like working with him. So I think there's no question that was a part of it. Joe Blacko says Ram wasn't big on character. I mean, is that true? I don't know. I mean, obviously, when they got L'Jarius Sneed, I don't remember any reported issues with him other than the knee. Then he got into the thing. He got into the thing with the gun in Dallas and that. Okay, so that, like, changes it. And obviously when he was here, he's just not a very likable guy. But other than that, tell me where, you know, to your point, Robbie, on GM's caring, they sent a freaking contingent to Texas to investigate everything that Tavondre Sweat ever said from seventh grade on, including what he wrote in his Trapper Keeper. I mean, like, so you can't tell me they didn't care about it. They obviously knew that that was a question, like his work ethic and does he party too much, whatever, all that stuff. I don't know. Everybody cares about that stuff. They all, because again, the Titans, they got burned with Isaiah Wilson, even though I believe that a lot of the issues with him were after college. There wasn't a ton about him at Georgia, but they got burned. And so then when you get burned in that way, then it puts even more of a premium on it. But then there's also, it's that sliding scale, like you said, of the talent and the, of course you don't want like an Antonio Brown. You just don't want that situation. But then again, you'll take the first several years of Antonio Brown's career, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that like Borgonzi is out here putting character way over talent. I mean, I think you're trying to build a good locker room, but I think with Oladejo, it was more projecting that talent, and we'll see. You know, we'll see this year. I mean, this year he could emerge and break through and be like, okay, wow, they did have it right. But it's just that when you saw so little in the first year, you're like, man, what were they seeing?
Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the end-of-season press conferences from the Nashville Predators yesterday. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.